This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom. Tomorrow we celebrate the 7th anniversary of the attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon. While the mainstream media might wax melancholy about this day, I thought I would offer a differing viewpoint from the mainstream to commemorate this anniversary. One theme we are likely to hear repeated this week is that 9/11 changed American policy. But this statement is too shallow to be taken seriously. America declared a war on terrorists at least 30 years ago and has done so repeatedly and for decades prior to the events of 9/11. First of all, witness the events that occurred in Nicaragua and El Salvador in the 1970s. Their quest for independence from American exploitation and their goal of economic enhancement of their citizens was met by the Reagan administration's declaration of, you guessed it, a war on terror, against not only any Central American leader who dared challenge American hegemony in their countries, but against their civilian populations. The means used in this war included murder, torture, and much of what came from what is then called the School of the Americas. This is a school which, from well within the boundaries of the U.S. homeland, exports terrorist methods to Central American leaders to keep the population under theirs and ultimately U.S. control. Similar actions against so-called terrorists took place in the administrations of George Bush I and Bill Clinton. Under George I, we supported the terrorism of President Suharto of Indonesia, Manuel Noriega, Saddam Hussein, Nicolae Ceausescu, Mobutu Siko of Zaire, and other well-known terrorists. So first of all, it is the United States who consistently declares war on others and uses terrorist methods to do it. The question is why we do it. And the answer has nothing to do with the safety or security of U.S. citizens. It has rather to do with short-term calculations of power and control of regions and resources. The civilians of the countries whose leaders we support or overthrow are the casualties of our war on terror. And when a battle or two that we have started comes home, the casualties become American civilians. The end result is that the American government has alleged justification to intensify its war against those we have already warred against, with the predictable result that a battle or two will be coming our way again. Don't expect either a President McCain or a President Obama to change that. But where is the leader who will dare to say to us that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself? A second thing that numerous journalists and alleged experts tell us is that 9/11 resulted in American fear and paranoia. Here is yet another unhistorical position. American fear and paranoia did not result from 9/11 because Americans have been fearful and insecure throughout our history, and it shows itself by our demonizing any non-white group whose very existence is seen as a threat to us simply by their presence in the world, let alone in the land of resources that we want. Even with a cursory examination of American history, we can see this. Californians have done it with Mexicans, Americans have done it with Native Americans, and now we are collectively doing it again with both Mexican and those of Arab descent. If you are non-white, you are at risk in an America filled with fear that you are out to take our stuff. So 9/11 did not produce fear in us, it was already there. What Bush and his cynical minions did with 9/11 was what every president has done, and that is to exploit that fear. As a result of that exacerbated fear, Americans have come to see themselves as vulnerable, as potential targets. The result is we have been ready and willing to give up our democracy in favor of becoming a security state. We not only have gated communities to keep our paranoia in and the unwanteds out, but we have state-run cameras, national surveillance technology, secret renditions, and even torture to make sure those unwanteds cannot get to us in any way. One of the casualties of this fear is the severe truncating of civil liberties, which came from such laws as the USA Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, and numerous others. So when will we end this cycle of American fear and paranoia, which results in more vicious attacks on the perceived brown-skinned enemy who produces that paranoia in us? Not until we come to understand and accept two things. First, we must understand that it is our own government's interference in other nations that has been causing the hatred that we saw on 9/11. Second, we must accept that the fear we feel as a result is not caused by nefarious external agents, but within our very psyches, by our acquisitiveness and our complacent attitude of cultural and national superiority. This attitude leads us not only to be uninformed about the rest of the world, but to be immune from the sufferings caused by our government and by our own hoarding of the Earth's resources. It's a continuous cycle. We war because our government wants to control resources and we want to consume. We get attacked because of it. We recoil and war even harder while consuming even more, and we write it all off as protecting our homeland, even while destroying it by undercutting the principles we stand for, such as equal rights and liberties for all. The nightmare of 9/11 will not end until we as a country express our willingness to reach out to the world and work with it, instead of thinking that the world is ours and that those other people are out to get what is rightfully ours, which is, well, basically everything. Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.